This podcast is brought to you by Underwriters Laboratory, Workplace Health and Safety.
So the first title we're going to release is more informational for organizations, and it's really designed to help educate the entire population related to the new view of safety. So we get into looking at how the best-in-class organizations are utilizing these techniques to drive improvement, but ultimately set up the rest of the content that will be coming online at the end of the first quarter. This first module will be available for free, and we'll announce soon when you're able to access that content as well as where. Thank you.
This cool stuff's available at Underwriters Laboratory, workplacehealthandsafety.com. Think about it, you guys. They're great sponsors, and thank you for doing that. And now, let's get on with the podcast. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I'm your host, Todd Conklin. Welcome, babies. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, today's going to be an interesting little conversation, just in case you're wondering. Today, we're going to look at the interface point between lean and human performance, between the new view for really reliable systems performance and lean, which spends most of its life on the manufacturing side of the house. However, I'd be a little bit shocked if most everybody listening to the podcast today didn't have a pretty good handle on what lean is. So today we're going to talk to Catherine Warner, and Catherine is the safety lead for the appliance business for all of GE worldwide. She's in a really interesting transition point because if you're following the news at all, you know that GE is kind of letting appliances go. And so Catherine's in kind of in the middle of a giant safety challenge, certainly in a market challenge, in a kind of an upset economy, and in a transition challenge. It's interesting, though, that's not what we're going to talk to her about. We're going to really focus on the interface between quality and safety. And what's interesting to me, I don't know if you've thought about it very much, but the more we work with the system reliability, the new view of safety, the more it becomes really clear to me that there's not a lot of difference between safety, quality, environmental, operations. In fact, at the worker level, the sharp end of the stick, there is no delineation at all. Those workers represent all those programs all the time, every time they touch the work. And Catherine is going to talk in good detail about how these programs fit together successfully, or at least how they fit together successfully for the guys in Louisville at Appliance Park. I think you're going to find this really interesting. If you've struggled with sort of lean thinking and how it impacts safety, you're not alone. Because the more you lean a system out, the more brittle the system becomes to high levels of variability. So if I used to take three people to do a job and now I take one person, I've gained a lot of efficiency, but I've lost two sets of eyes that really could predictively sort of help understand where those failures happen. That's a big part of what this conversation's about. I think you're really going to like this podcast. Bob Edwards did the interview because he was in the field and picked it up for me. I'm going to let Bob and Catherine take it from here, but enjoy, sit back, and thanks for listening to the podcast. I'll talk to you more about, you know, life and stuff at the end of this podcast. Here you go. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, this is Catherine Warner.
So, Todd, this is Bob calling in from the field here. I just happen to have a great opportunity here to meet with one of our good friends, Catherine Warner. And so we got a little time on her schedule here and just wanted to talk with her a bit about what they're doing with this human and organizational performance stuff. So, Catherine, welcome to the podcast, or as my daughter likes to call it, the Toddcast. Tell us who you are, Catherine.
Thanks, Bob. I'm Catherine Warner. I'm the Environmental Health and Safety Leader for the GE's appliances business. Been with GE 18 years. Started in their aviation business for about 9 years, moved into their locomotive business, GE Transportation, stayed there for about 5 years, and then on to appliances. Been on the hop journey for about the last 5 years.
Nice. So tell me about it. So first of all, why do you guys call it hop? What does that stand for?
HOP is our acronym for Human and Organizational Performance.
Good. So it's like HP or HPI or Operational Excellence. So different companies call it different things. I like the HOP thing because it is the human and the organization performing together, right? So you guys have been doing this for a few years. What's happening? Is it working? Is it getting better? Or is it hard? What's going on in the real world of making it happen?
the real wins for us in appliances right now that have been sustainable for us are our use of what we call HOP learning teams. It's a prescribed process for solving problems where we meet with a team, and there's one session where we try to flesh out what really is the problem, asking the right questions to understand what the failure is. We don't try to solve the problem in the first session. We sleep on it, have soak time, and then the next day we come back and we work to solve it. As a process, that has worked well for us. Where we've been challenged with that is sometimes we'll have an extensive, what we call a wall of discovery, where we've really unlocked the story of what the problem is. And what we're doing to add more, I'll say rigor around the process of really following through on those opportunities is to really look at our lean process and take what we call the Kaizen newspaper approach out of lean to really then go back and say, hey, what are our quick wins? And put that then in an action owner due date format. So we can take a problem, peel back the onion, really unlock the story, asking how questions. How did this happen? Tell me more about it. And then ultimately make it actionable to solution.
So yeah, there's probably a real problem. If we come up with ideas and then don't follow through, then people start to lose confidence, right?
Right.
Even though we may have done a great job of unlocking the story, we understand how maybe there was error and system weaknesses and it all kind of came together and there was a problem. And then the team comes up with ideas and then we don't do anything, right? So then they're like, okay, well, you listened to me, but you didn't help me get this any better, right? So that's cool. So now you're realizing that's a weakness and you're working on, and I like the idea of marrying this together with the lean process, which is really prevalent in the manufacturing world. Give, for those out there who don't really know what lean is about, and maybe they've heard of it, give them just a quick elevator. What do you mean when you say lean? Does that mean we're like right at the perfect weight and I do a lot of working out and push-ups? Or what do we mean when we mean lean, when we say lean?
So lean manufacturing for GE has been another progressive continuous improvement part of our journey. And we've adopted lean manufacturing largely from Toyota's Toyota production model. And it's really a method to get rid of different kinds of waste out of the system. It might be wait time. It might be extra excess inventory, extra travel time for parts or people. Different elements of waste in a system can add cost, potential risk, quality defects. And so the idea behind lean is that you take waste out of the system and therefore have a more efficient, safer, cost-effective, productive system.
So when you think about marrying HOP to lean, what does HOP bring to the conversation? So lean's about, the term they like is Kaizen, right? Continuous improvement, you said that. So lean is about getting waste out and continuous improvement. Then what does HOP bring to the equation?
So this might be my favorite question that we're going to cover today. What I see from some of the teams that we've had here, the learning teams where we've had lean leaders on the teams, where we've integrated both approaches, what I see is in HOP for a learning team, we would gather people together off the shop floor, off the Gemba, and we would ask the right questions to unlock the story, have people feel comfortable, build trust, say we really need to understand what actually happened in order to fix the real problems. So then we understand. So HOP allows us to tell and listen to the story off the Gemba. Then lean is all about go and see. So once you've heard what the real story is, when you go back to the shop floor and say, hey, let's look at what your standard work is, then the operator can really show you what's actually happened. They're comfortable showing you not just the process as it's written, which in HOP we call the black line, but the operator is really comfortable to show you what we call in HOP the blue line, which is some of those variations maybe in the process on how work gets done. And so that's what I feel like is the real beauty between HOP, where you can then listen and learn from the operator, and then Lean, where then you go out on the Gemba and you go see how it's done, and then together you can fix or address whatever issues there are.
Very nice. So it's kind of, it's the black line, blue line conversation in practice, right? We're actually taking a look at, hey, here's the process, here's how we've defined it, but here's how it really gets done. And because that was always something that I struggled with like standard work. It's a great idea, except it doesn't capture variability very well. And the operator can tell you about variability because they deal with it all day long. So it's really, really good. I like it. So what are the things that you would say were like the toughest things you guys, like when you were starting to do this, was it like the management that you had to work on the most, or was it the operators or your middle management? Where do you run into the tough, like when you're trying to help people understand, hey, we're going to move into this new view, as we like to call it, the learn and improve versus the old blame and punish approach, right? And we like to think that we're not there, except that it's everywhere, right? It's pretty normal for humans to blame people. As you were moving this into your organization, like what seemed to be the toughest places to get people to understand it? Or did everybody just accept it?
There's certainly some learning moments as we've gone along. And I'll say one for me and the team is to arm people with really what questions we want to ask to unlock the story. Again, we talk a lot about, traditionally we've asked the five whys, and now we're asking more how questions. How did the process, walk me through the process, how did the process lead to this outcome or what have you? And it allows us to really dig in on that level.
Yeah. So it really gives all of us, because I can tell you for me personally, it shifted my thinking about, because I did five whys all the time, right? And I was pretty quick to jump to, like, here's the root cause, we're done, right? So for me as a safety professional, when I was, you know, working at a factory, it was a challenge for me to shift from why to how. Nothing wrong with why, but you're right. How is a more inclusive and comprehensive look at it. And so when a leader asks how, then we're able to tell them how. So we're actually giving the leader a better question, right? We're helping we're helping our leadership team realize that root cause gives us something, but it may be a little narrow. We can actually open this up and look at all the latent conditions that are out there. And it may not just be a root cause problem. There may be a bunch of things that need to be changed. So it sounds like what you're saying is we're giving our leadership better, I call it operational intelligence. They can understand better the blue line, which gives them the opportunity to ask better questions so that we can bring more of the blue line story forward. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense. I think sometimes people feel like, gosh, we've already got a great lean one-by-one problem-solving process. Mm-hmm. And the way I've heard it best stated is lean allows us, while it feels like you might go a little slow to unlock the story to start, it really serves as an accelerator. Because once you know the real story, then as you really go to the shop floor, you can see it. People aren't nervous about talking with you, right, about some of the variation they've had in the process, even though it may be outside of the process as written.
Right.
And so people can be very candid. And then you're solving the right problems. To your point on latent conditions and the problem set as a whole, not just something we might term as a root cause.
Right. Because I used to hear this a lot. What's the one thing we can do so this will never happen again? Well, I don't know. There's probably 100 things we need to do, right? So I think what I saw, like in the sites that I worked at and work with, is that, as you said, then the operators realize because there's some trust here, right? I got to trust you to tell me the story, and you got to trust that I'm not going to lose my mind on you, right? And so when we actually get them comfortable, like you said, they become more open. Now we're getting an actual understanding at a deeper level. Scott said to me one time, at my plant manager, he said, sometimes these learning teams uncover things that are kind of scary, right? He said, but don't stop. He said, I didn't know that it was so much adaptation, so much variation out there. And so, good.
One thing I'd like to add is I think the trick to really having the hop philosophy stick is to be able to solve some tough problems using hop. It can't be all talk in a room.
Right.
It has to be action on the floor. We had a manufacturing challenge where we had a very difficult part to put on. We called it the black hose job.
Oh, I remember this one.
Well, what was great is we had the right stakeholders there, from the design engineer to the manufacturing engineer to the operator. And when we really put our heads together, we were able to iterate right there to test out some solutions right on the line that were operator-driven. And as you start to generate these types of good stories that then are able to yield longer-term manufacturing solutions, this is where I believe hop starts to sell itself, is when unlocking the story translates into a real sustainable solution.
And that hose problem had been around a while, hadn't it?
Lots of smart people had thought about that before.
I actually have a sample of that hose. They gave me one after they fixed it. It's great. It's in my keepsake stuff. It's so cool. Yeah, and I was mentioning earlier to you, I just saw a team today that had a welding problem with a part. And Eric, I think, is the leader's name. And he and his team, they just pulled together. And when they did, and they really unlocked the sort of the story behind everything and really started to dig in as a team, that took them a while because they had a lot of challenges, I guess, but they fixed quality problems, they fixed rework issues, they fixed testing issues, safety issues, ergo issues. And, I mean, the operators were sitting right there talking to me saying, we enjoy working with each other. We've helped each other out so much in this, we've just become a closer team. They come to work on time. All this becomes better. I mean, if we could take what those guys just did and bottle it, we could be rich, right? Because that's what we want more of. And so you have these success stories. Now, I saw something interesting that you guys do with some of your hop stories. Can you tell them a little bit about the 3-minute videos? Because I thought those were fascinating.
Yes. So the way we decided we would tell our good stories is by making what we call hop in action videos. Because, again, the translation of the philosophy into action that changes how we do business and makes it better, I just really thought we needed to tell those stories in a more public way past just the conference room out brief. And so we've got the cameras out on the shop floor. We talk with the operators. We talk with the engineers. We talk about how the experience went for them, unlocking the story with a wall of discovery, the process out on the shop floor, how are these fixes really iterating to be better through the process, and then ultimately, where do we end up? What are the results? And, you know, in some cases, there might even be a second part of video part two, because maybe we have to actually go back to the design team to change our product design that ultimately will lead back to an easier way to manufacture it.
And so where did you show these old videos at?
Well, we've shown these at all employee meetings across the business. And that's across the whole value stream, whether that's with a product development team, with a sales team, with a service team, manufacturing. Everyone has heard these good stories and understands how we can use this philosophy to solve problems.
Yeah, and let me see if I've got this right. As you tell that story across your businesses, because you have a bunch of them, it's not to tell everybody else to go fix a hose like they did over in that one building. It's to show the capacity of employees and engineers and supervisors and stuff pulling together all on the same sheet of music, because we are all on the same sheet of music. We're trying to make good product that will keep us in business. And so you're really showing a story of capacity and confidence more than you are, here's how you go fix your hose problem. Am I right?
Correct. The hose is the illustration of how the process can work. And I would couch hop also in terms of a real challenge from our leadership team up front to embrace hop. Our CEO, Chip Blankenship, right up front, embraced hop. He came from the aviation industry and has a great respect for systems that need to be highly resilient, and keeping planes in the air is one of those systems. And when he learned about this way to unlock the story and really understand other latent conditions that can maybe lead to a certain incident, he was very intrigued by this and thought that in the appliances business, there could be really a lot of opportunity here to use this philosophy to help us improve our business.
Very cool. So it, kind of in wrap up here, if you were talking to somebody that's thinking about shifting to this sort of new view, as we like to call it, right? Human performance, HOP, HPI, whatever name they want to use for it. If they're thinking about, hey, I'm going to take this conversation to my leadership team, I'm going to see if I can get some buy-in and move forward, what would be your sage advice for, okay, as you go into this, here's kind of what you need to help you get through this?
I like to use the bookend approach, which is to solve a problem on the floor where you have an example of how to use the philosophy. If you're not sure where to start, having a HOP coach is a great way to start that journey, to coach the team through that first great win. So that's one side of the book, bookend. The other side is leadership, top leadership support for the process. And I find a good way to do that if your leader is a reader. I would consider giving Todd's book, The Pre-Accident Investigation, at the risk of sounding like a commercial for Todd's book,
right.
I have to tell you, it is a very powerful story, and our leaders who've read the book are very interested to meet Todd and attend a workshop and learn more. So when you have that top leadership support, then you can go on to educate the others. And then the story that I mentioned on the other side of the bookend really starts to allow you to illustrate, just like the black hose story, to illustrate how the process works.
Nice. Very good. Wow. So what do you think, Todd? I told you this would be good, didn't I? So I really appreciate your time, Catherine. This is great. I think this is going to be helpful to a lot of people, because there's a lot of people out there that are starting on this journey, some of them just getting started. And to be able to hear some, you know, some challenges and also some confidence-building stories and examples is going to help other people out.
So I love this podcast because I like the language they use to talk about sort of that interface point between safety and quality, between lean and human performance. I love the idea of telling the story, a lot of emphasis on the how side of the question, the context-rich side of the question. But what I liked is the metaphor they created of sort of peeling off the layers of the onion and then using the lean thinking to go out and actually confirm, validate, and verify what they're learning, fixing, and doing is actually making a difference to the sharp end of the stick worker. That's pretty cool. The podcast is going great, you guys. I can't thank you enough. Hey, if you've got people that you think should be on it, give me a call. I'm getting a little list going, and there's some pretty interesting people coming on the podcast. No question about that. That's going to be fun. We got all sorts of fun people to talk to for sure. Other than that, golly, my life seems grand. I don't even know. Thanks to Marcy for sending me the coolest recipe on earth for macaroni and cheese pie with thick bacon top crust. Holy cow. That is the whole macaroni and cheese pie. I don't even know how to describe it. It's extravagant. It's amazing. And it looks like it's going to be delicious. I'll make it and tell you all about it. Other than that, things are grand here. It's May, or it should be when this podcast goes up. And May is an awfully fun month because it's right when stuff happens. And we start springing into the summer, and that is the best time of year, if you ask me. You're not asking, but if you were, that's what I'd tell you. That was the podcast. I hope you liked it. I learned a lot today, and that's always the goal. Remember, have as much fun as you possibly can. Learn something new every single day. And for goodness sakes, be safe.